Hey family, how are you? I pray all is well in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and you. That's right, He is your God, and what a mighty God we serve. How are you feeling, family, on this beautiful Monday? So for the past week and some change, I've been battling this crazy cold, but I receive my total healing and restoration in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. As I share this quick devotional with you, please bear with me if you find me coughing. I wanted to share this word, and it's important that we learn how to press past the things we go through, if it's possible, to not use things as sicknesses and pain and other things as a crutch not to do the will of the Lord, or not to do what God has asked you to do, or what you know He has told you to do. So I am just being obedient to the call. And please don't misinterpret what I'm saying, because someone will say, well, Sister Trina, you know when there's a time to rest and there is a time to, you know, be still. And yes, you are right, my brother and my sister. But there's also a time to discern when to get up and to not use what you're going through as a crutch or as a reason to stay down, to stay in a position that God has already delivered you from. And as I've said it, I receive my healing and total restoration in the name of the Lord. So I don't know why I had to share that, but to God be the glory. So I'm reading this, I think it's like a 5-day devotionals with one of my sisters in the Lord, and I really want to read this one to you because it is so awesome. The meaning of faith, that's what I'm titling it, because that's what's, you know, sung in my heart as I was reading it. What is faith? So she says, and this is by Priscilla Shire, which I love her so much. Pastor Tony Evans' daughter. I love Priscilla. Oh, she's the one from the movie War Room. I just love this woman of God. But anyway, I'm just going to read the devotional that she have here, and then I'm going to share a few words. I won't be on long. I just wanted to share this. You know, once I hear something or I read something and it touches my heart and I hear the Lord, I am on here. So let me get in to this devotional. We define faith in this simple meaning: act like God is telling the truth. Truth is the hinge upon which the entire issue of faith living rests upon. If you don't know the truth, you can never really know how to act in conjunction with it. So the truth of God's character and His words provide a framework that allows our faith to flourish and thrive. The truth of God is what makes having faith in God worth it. Without faith, we have nothing solid to hang our shield of faith on. So knowing the truth of God and the truth about God as revealed in His word is critical if we want to live out our faith responsibly and experience the benefits of being protected by our shield. Any discussions on faith would be incomplete without highlighting the critical importance of hearing the voice of God clearly and accurately. If we aren't careful, faith can easily turn into foolishness, imprudent, impulsive, and even reckless and dangerous behavior done in the name of faith. But true faith must always be built squarely on the foundation of God's written word as His Spirit leads you to apply it to your life. How would you describe the difference between faith and foolishness? What keeps someone from crossing the boundaries between the two? As believers, we have the privilege of knowing His direction for us as we prayerfully seek it. He will be faithful to show us the truth, to give us His direction for the next step we are supposed to take. In fact, being confident and affirmed in the next step is critical in order to help us stay balanced as we pursue a lifestyle protected by the shield of faith. Once you clearly know the truth of God or the promise of God in regards to a matter, it's time to move forward in a way that's congruent with it. Listen carefully. Your feelings could never be the final determining factor for your actions. I'm going to pause right there because I may not be feeling a certain way. But is it congruent with what I know God has told me to do? I love that. Your feelings should never be the determining factor. I'm going to come back to that. So let me just finish. It's only a little bit left. Listen carefully. Your feelings could never be the final determining factor for your actions. Feelings change and are subject to external stimuli. Actions done in faith must be anchored in something more solid and fixed. Our God is true and worth following. He is always there, far outranking Satan's in strength, to hearing our troubled prayers, reaffirming his faithless promises, and deliver the next bit of lamplight we need to walk steadily in his direction. Shield up, shield up, shield up. I love this. Shield up, soldiers. We're walking by faith. I thought this was cute. It's packed with so many different goodies. And let me just go back to this part right here, where she said that truth in God and the promises of God in regards to any matter should move forward in a way that's congruent to the truth of God's word or the promises that you know God gave you. Feelings could never, and I mean never, be the determined factor for your actions. So many people are not moving in what they should be doing right now in this amazing prophetic Holy Spirit moving hour because of how they feel. I don't feel like it. I don't feel like doing this. I don't feel like doing that. I feel offended. I feel this. And these feelings they're real. And you as a human being experience so many different feelings, family. And some of us experience multiple feelings throughout the day. One minute I'm joyful. One minute I'm happy. Then I'm frustrated. Then I'm angry. I'm this, I'm that. We go through so many different changes. And like she said, feelings change and are subject to external stimuli, depending on the situation, depending on the conversation, depending on the breeze that passes you as you're walking down the street can change how you feel. Why would you let that be the determining factor for your actions instead of the truth in which you should know, the truth in which you say you know? The truth of God's promises. If you know what God has said about any situation or circumstance, about your health, about your family, about your finances, about your ministry or business, whatever the case may be, what has God say? And if he said it, isn't it so? Do you believe? I love that it started with faith. The meaning of faith is acting like God is telling the truth. Do you think God is telling the truth or he out here lying? He out here just, you know what, just, yeah, I'm gonna do it and don't. Yet so many people hang on every word of Channel 2 News, Channel 11 News. Did you hear what the news said? Did you hear what? I am so family. I know some folk that hang on every word of the news, but you, a child of God, you or a son and a daughter of the Most High God. You supposed to be a believer and have faith in what God has said. Faith is acting like God is telling the truth. We have all heard that before, but are we living a life as if God is telling the truth? Are we living a life that says God said it, it is so, it is sealed, it is signed, and it is about to be delivered to me and my family because God is telling the truth? Do you really want to serve a God that you're not sure about what he said? Hold up. Let me come back a little bit. Do you want to hang around people that you can't trust their word. I know I don't want to be around folk that I'm questioning everything they say and everything that they do because they be lying. I don't even want to be associated with people that constantly speak and they are not a man or woman of integrity. So why would I submit my life, raise my hand, praise on Sunday, worship on Saturday to a God I don't believe? Or I say I have faith, but I really don't believe. So when I read this, I was like, you know what? This is something that I really just want to... You're my brother, right? You're my sister, right? So we just sitting here and we having a brother-sister moment, okay? Bro, do you believe God? Sis, you believe God? I mean, I know he not showing up the way you want him to show up. I know you've been waiting a little while, longer than you probably expected. I know, you know, we've been through some stuff and, you know, we grew up in a household where, you know, mommy didn't always do what she said. And, you know, daddy didn't always do what he said, or grandma made some promises that she couldn't follow through. I understand that. But the whole purpose of us giving our life to Christ and to submit to his lordship and to submit to his sovereignty, to his friendship, to his love, is to say, I believe you. When we pray the prayer of salvation, we are stating, I believe that you are the Son of God. That has to be the word that come out of our mouth. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe that you died for my sin. I believe that you rose up on the third day in victory, conquering death in the grave. I believe that. This is what the prayer of salvation leads us to, right? So do we stop believing at that point? I know life be lifing, but at what part of the prayer of salvation did we quit? Because if I believe that you are the Son of God, I believe that you came and you died for me, I believe that you rose up in victory, conquering death in the grave, then there's nothing you cannot do for me. And it's a lot easier said than done for someone who hasn't totally submitted and surrendered their life to the God they gave themselves to. There's so many people who say, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, I'm a child of God, I'm a daughter, I'm a son, but there is no submission. The first title, the most powerful title we can have as a believer, guess what, family, is not a prophet. It's not an apostle. It's not a pastor. It's not a minister. It's not an evangelizer. It's not a teacher. The highest position, the highest title we carry, family, is a son and a daughter of God. I want to say that again. The highest title and greatest position we have is as a son and as a daughter. What does that mean to understand sonship and daughtership? So, like I said, we family, we brothers and sisters, and we sitting at this table. Let me ask you a question. If you're hearing this and you have children, and maybe not children, maybe you have a little brother or a little sister that you love so dearly. And whether it's your son or daughter, or whether it's your brother or sister, or maybe it's just your cute little cousin or your godson or your goddaughter, whoever this baby is, they come to you and they say, Mommy, Daddy, Auntie, Uncle, Cousin, I'm hungry. Aren't you going to feed them? Matter of fact, if they wake up in the morning and you know they've been sleeping all night, they don't even have to ask. As a parent, you are up preparing food for your children because you know what they need. You provide their daily bread. bread. Jesus, help me. As a parent, if you see your child and they're on the playground and you notice that their little sneakers are starting to dwindle down and you're starting to see the soles coming off a little bit and you're starting to see holes, without them saying, "Mommy, I need new shoes," you already said it in your mind, "I gotta get my baby some shoes." You see your baby and they're changing their clothes and you start to notice little holes in their underwear. They don't have to say anything because kids is just going to be kids. Sometimes they don't know that they need it sometimes. But you as a father, you as a mother recognize, I got to get my baby some drawers. Spider-Man had a hole in his chest. I ain't see the spider no more. Barbie, I don't know. I think I seen the arm is missing because there's a hole in my baby drawers. That baby don't have to come to you and tell you. This is why Jesus said, worry not about tomorrow. Worry not about what you're going to eat. Worry not about what you're going to put on. Don't you know your Father in heaven knows what you need? Come as a child, unless you come as a child, because as a child, you are dependent on me. As a child, you have this expectation of me. Your children are not coming to you scared when they hungry. They come boldly. "Mom, I'm hungry. What we got to eat? You cooking? Can you buy me McDonald's? Can you? They come boldly. And it's not about if you have the money or not. It's about them coming to a parent or a caregiver with this boldness and expectation that they're going to eat. And until we learn how to operate as a son and a daughter of the Most High God, until we learn, this is what, say this with me, family. My first position is a daughter. My brother, my first position is a son. And until we get that right, family, we're not going to be able to really access a lot of the things that God has for us because we're too busy running around begging for things that He already aware of that we need. The Bible says that healing is the children's bread. So people are begging for something that was provided already when we woke up in the morning. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give me this day my daily bread. That means on a daily basis, God is providing healing for you. Do you have faith to believe that? That if faith is what I need and faith is the currency that is going to allow me to get what's in the spirit, because without faith, it's impossible to please God, because faith is saying, "God, I know you telling the truth." As a parent, hear me. How would you feel as a sister or brother? Like I said, it doesn't matter who the child is in your life. How does it make you feel if that person comes to you crying, saying, "I'm hungry, I'm so hungry"? First of all, you're going to be like, "Why are you crying? Stop crying. Why you ain't just ask me? Come on, let's go get something to eat." And then please don't let them do it around company, because then you're going to be embarrassed, because now they got folk thinking you don't feed them. My God, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Now, other people are looking at you like, "You don't take care of your seed. You don't take care of your children. Why is this baby crying? Talking about something hungry. Is this baby eating at home?" How do you think you look when you crying to God for necessities that a father know you need? I want you to remember that illustration the next time you're going into prayer, because our prayer needs to shift to faith. Faith is saying, God, you are telling the truth. I'm not coming to you begging. I'm not coming to you weeping. I'm not coming to you crying. I'm coming like a daughter. I'm coming like a son that is bold and confident and have the expectation that my daddy is going to provide what it is that I need. Family, God want us to get to a place. Jesus. God wants us to get to such a spiritual maturity that we don't even go to him for food, for clothes, for healing, for because we know by faith, and there's this knowing in our spirit. No. Daddy took care of that already. All of my needs are taken care of through his richness and glory. So I'm not going to waste this quiet time, this prayer time, this secret place begging for something that God has already provided. I need to intercede for healing in the nation. I need to intercede, hallelujah, for this war. I need to intercede for my brothers and sisters that are, you know, hanging on the highways and the byways. I'm going to use this intimate time to stand in the gap for the unbeliever. I'm going to use this intimate time, hallelujah, to pray for the lost. I'm going to use this quiet. I'm not about to use this intimate time with my father begging for something I already have. That's the place we must get to, family. That's faith. That's the meaning of faith. When I'm not crying, Lord, I need these bills paid, Lord. I need healing, Lord. And he is a father sitting back wondering, have I not been there for you? Have I not been your way maker, your miracle worker, your promise keeper, your light in the midst of the darkness? Have I not been that for you? We waste too much prayer time on stuff that is already taken care of in the realm of the spirit. My God, hear me by the Spirit of the Lord. We are wasting too much of our intimate prayer time on stuff that is already ours. And because we don't have the faith to believe it, that's why we're not accessing it. It's not as if we don't already have it. I mentioned this in the last podcast that God has some stuff before your eyes, but because you can't see it and you can't decree it, you can't receive it. So we're going to God begging for things that a child already have. Family, we got to get this. Faith. It's easy to say, I believe. It's easy to say, I have faith in God. Than it is to live a life in such a way that you express your expression of how you love and how you live and how you give and the things you do that shows you God is telling the truth. God is telling the truth. I'm gonna forgive you because I know that God is telling the truth, that if I don't forgive you, he ain't gonna forgive me. And I ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Because I know God is telling the truth. So I don't have time to hold and harbor unforgiveness in my heart because God is telling the truth. He will make my enemies my footstool, so I'm not going to vindicate myself and bowl up my fists or get on Snapchat or get on Instagram or get on Facebook and try to put a subliminal message to call you out because I know God is telling the truth. I'm not going to hold back and withhold and not give to the people that I know that God said to give to feed the homeless and to help out those that are in need, because I believe God is telling the truth. He said, try me and see that I would open up the windows of heaven. So I believe God is telling the truth. So I'm going to help and I'm going to feed the needy. And if I see somebody who's in need and don't have clothes, I'm going to be willing to clothe them because I believe God is telling the truth. I believe God is telling the truth when he said that he has given me power and authority to trample over serpents and that by no means should anything harm me. I believe when he said he's given me keys to the kingdom, so I'm not going to go into warfare
crying. I'm going into warfare praising. Hallelujah. I'm going into warfare standing firm on the rock because I believe, God, that the victory is already won. I believe that God has told me the truth when he said victory is mine. I believe God told me the truth when he said I'm more than a conqueror. I believe God when he said that I'm the head and not the tail. I believe God when he said I'm above and not beneath. I believe God when he told me, hallelujah, when he told me that I was the apple of his eye. I believe God when he said I adopted you and I have taken you into my family and you are accepted and beloved, and it don't matter who reject you, it don't matter who didn't accept you, I have accepted you. I believe God. Family, do you believe God? Did God tell you the truth or not? But that's what faith says. God told me the truth. So ain't no, let God be true in everything else. Y'all can finish that statement if you know it. But for those who don't, a lie. Let God be true in everything else, a lie. Family, if God is telling you the truth, act like he's telling you the truth. And start living a life that says, I believe the words in this Bible. I believe that greater works shall I do because I believe in the Lord. He ain't lied to me. I believe when we begin to spend the secret place and the intimate time and excuse me, the private time with God on more important issues. Like, okay, Lord, open my eyes in the realm of the spirit. Lord, okay, who needs to eat? Who need clothes? Lord, show me in the realm of the spirit who is in need, because I believe you want to use me today. When we start praying like that and stop praying for stuff that is already taken care of in the realm of the spirit. And family, I say this humbly because God is teaching me still how to know that I know that I know, because my first position is a daughter, not a prophet, not a minister, not a teacher, not a businesswoman, not a mother. My first position is a daughter of the Most High God. And what does that mean for me to be a daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? What does that mean? What access do I have? What provisions that is already tied? What inheritance I already have? Family, if you can get this, if you catch this by the Spirit of God, may it take you up and mount you up with wings as eagles. If you understood your first position, family, everything else will fall into place. I'm a daughter first. I'm a daughter first. And because I know how to go to my daddy when I need to go to my daddy. And because I know my daddy loves me. Nor depths, nor height, nor principalities, nor powers, nothing past, nothing present. Nothing is going to separate me from the love of my daddy. My needs are taken care of. That means I don't need to go into the secret place wasting time on these things that my daddy already saw that I have need of. Like I said, I want you to remember the illustration. If you see anybody, it don't even have to be your children, or even someone that you're taking care of. You could be a teacher at school. If you see somebody and they got a hole in their shirt or in their pants, something in you ache. I gotta do something about this. How much more our Heavenly Father is looking at you saying, I gotta do something about this. I see my daughter. She needs this. I see my son. I gotta do something about this. And he starts shifting and aligning and moving and tugging on the hearts of men to favor you and bless you. Your Father knows what you need. It's time for you to
to have real faith. And that's living a life like God has told you the truth. And there's no other voice on this planet that is going to make you doubt the truth you know. But when you become a son and you become a daughter, our children hang on every word that we say. They look at us with awe and admiration. My mommy said this. My daddy said Friday, we gonna get ice cream. It could be a whole snowstorm outside. That kid is not thinking about that snowstorm. That kid is thinking, I'm gonna get me some sprinkles. Ooh. Daddy, can I get the cherry on top? All he know is that daddy told him we getting ice cream on Friday. And my daddy told me the truth. And I think it's important because we serve a God of integrity that does not lie. As parents, I think we have to do better, because I believe that many of us struggle with believing that God told us the truth because we had a caregiver that made promises and didn't fall through. And when you are in environments where you feel like you can't hold on to the words that people give you, it makes it very hard for you to believe God when he tells you, I'm for you and that I'm with you and that all of these things are going to work together for your good, because so many people use words so carelessly and gave you broken promises. And that's why the Bible says, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, because anything else is of the devil. And that is one of the most powerful scripture, because it taught me to not say I'm going to do something if I'm not, even if you mean well. And I talked about this a little bit a ways back, that if you tell someone that you're going to do something and things happen, life be life in, and something happens and you can't do it, it is important that you humble yourself and say, hey, I'm sorry. I apologize. I wasn't able to honor my word, but how can I make this up to you? We have to do that as people, because we should have obeyed the word of God and not overcommitted ourselves. And that's the problem. That's the problem. It's not to say that you don't want to do it, but too often we overcommit ourselves and we say yes to things that we haven't really given account for. We haven't counted the cost for. And now we have given room to the enemy, because it opens the door to offense. It opens to the door for people to feel abandoned or rejected, or you know what, you helped this person, but when I asked you, you told me you was going to do this and then you didn't do it. We have to be careful with our yeses. We even got to be careful with our maybes, because even maybe is maybe. We have to really be careful with that as parents, because we're raising up our children to struggle to believe God like he is telling the truth. And even though we all have to walk this walk of faith, we can help them out by not doing to them what our parents has done to us. And not just to our children, with anybody. Because there's a lot of grown children struggling to believe God based on their experiences growing up, or even the people in their life now that are not a man or woman of integrity. So we have to start living a life of being a man and woman of integrity. We have to honor our words. If nothing else, that's big for me. I always say, if my God is telling the truth, I want to tell the truth. I want people to, when I say I'm going to do something, that they're not, we'll see. That's the most hurtful feeling. And I can honestly say, I know people that if they tell me something, I'm like, I choose not to be offended, but they overtax themselves. They overcommit, and it's always something coming up, and it's always, oh, you know what, this happened and that happened, but they never take it
to the next level and say, how can I make it up to you? And I think when we humble ourselves and say, well, how can I make it up to you? It will kind of break that chain of offense off, because now this person see, okay, you didn't do it intentionally. You're trying to make up for it. And it may still leave a little bruise depending on the person and their expectations. And that's another thing, because we need to take off all expectations of people. But it will really help out the situation, because we're being humble enough to say, I messed up. I shouldn't have overcommitted. I shouldn't have told you yes. I shouldn't have said I was going to do this, because we have to now develop an atmosphere of truth so that we can live and operate as if God is telling the truth. But it also helps when you live and tell the truth, and people can honor your word. Because it's not fair for you to be able to honor the word of God and people can't honor yours. You feel me? So now you, and there's no shade and there's no condemnation. We have all made that mistake. I know I have done it. I have overcommitted before. And that's why I made a promise to myself. If I can't do it, I'm going to just say no. Matter of fact, thank you, Jesus. This is the scripture. I don't know. I'm paraphrasing it, but if you guys know it, Jesus said, he was sharing a parable and he said, which one did the will of the Father? My God. One son said yes, but didn't do it. The other son said no, but he did do it. So who did the will of God? The one who said no. He said no, but his heart, he did it anyway. His heart, it's all about a heart issue. So family, I'd rather say no to you and then say, okay, I got time. I could squeeze you in. You know, I'd rather say that, giving you an opportunity to make other arrangements, than for me to say yes, and then I let you down. We serve a God that when he say yes, he is not going to let us down. He's not going to let us be ashamed. So we have to be a people that does the same thing to our brothers and sisters. God is trying to patch up holes that we keep putting in people. And then we wonder why everyone's struggling to really have faith and believe God at his word. So I really love this devotional. I really just wanted to share that with you guys. And I'm going to have to apologize to you guys. See, I'd rather say I won't be on here long and be on here long than to say, oh, I'm going to be up on here for a minute and I'm out here in 10 minutes. See, which one y'all prefer? I love me some you. Oh man, I love you guys. But I wanted to share this because we do have to really live a life as if we know God is telling the truth. God is telling the truth, family. Not the news, not the doctor's report, not the bank accounts, not the relationships, not the nothing that is going sideways. Because, and you know what? Let me rephrase that. Because there are some things that appear to be right and ain't the truth. Amen. Amen. But your God is the truth, the way, and the life. And if you are calling yourself a believer and you are tying your name to the Son of the Living God, please honor him by saying, Jesus, you ain't tell not near lie. You ain't told not near lie, Jesus. I believe every word that proceedeth forth out of the mouth of God. That is the meaning of faith. I believe you, Lord. And I'm not going to just say I believe you with my mouth. I'm going to live a life that says I believe you by what I do, how I act, how I show up in the world. I'm going to show up being the best version of myself. Why? Because my daddy said I am fearfully and wonderful made. And he ain't lying. He ain't lying. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. See, family, how good does it feel to believe everything that God has said? He loves you so much. So, so much. But until we get a sure foundation
in the position of a son and a daughter. We will miss it. Out of all of the things, all of the titles, God wants a son. God wants a friend. God wants a daughter. I love that he told Aaron and Miriam. He said, when I'm talking to my prophets, I come to them in dark sayings and speeches and this, that, and the third. But not so with Moses. Moses, I talk to him face to face like a friend. God is not... He uses prophets. He uses apostles. He uses pastors. He uses... And let me go back real quick, because that's not with dark sayings and dark speeches. That's when he's in dreams. But when he's talking to his prophets, he talks to them in dreams and visions. But with Moses face to face, I wanted to fix that. But he uses the prophet. He uses the apostles. He uses the teachers. He uses the pastors. But he wants a friend. He wants a son. He wants my daddy. Let me tell you something. Jesus was the perfect example. If you see me, you see my daddy. If you see what I do, you see my daddy do. Oh, don't you know I'm about my daddy business? Oh, I'm about to go away and pray to my daddy. Jesus was the perfect example of a grown man who understood sonship. I'm going to say that again. Jesus was the perfect example of being a grown man who understood sonship. So we have to take the example of Jesus to enter into son and daughtership so that we can have access to daddy like Jesus did. That we can come out of his presence, hallelujah, with the power that Jesus did. That we can come out of his presence with the authority like Jesus did. That we can come out healing the sick and opening blind eyes and causing the lame to walk like Jesus did. Jesus did not spend his quiet time to God praying for miracles that he already gave him to do. He knew they needed to eat. He knew they need clothes. He knew God knew everything that these people need. Jesus went to be filled. I want to be with you. I want to be in your presence. I want to abide. Why? Because I know when I leave here, the works that I'm going to do for you, the works that I'm going to do for the kingdom, we got to excel. We got to mature. We got to mature in the spirit. And maturity don't mean age, because there are some grown men and women of age who have yet to develop, who have yet to be established in the realm of the spirit as a son and a daughter. And I pray today that the spirit of the Lord is resting on you so heavy that you begin to fall in your daddy's lap as he opened your eyes to being his baby boy and his baby girl. I remember probably sometime early last year, I did a sweatshirt and it said Abba's girl. God has, he got me there. I'm a daughter first. I'm a daughter first. So I come to him as a daughter, not just a believer, not just a Christian. I'm going to my daddy. And then I want to spend time with him about you, not about me. He taking care of me already. Do a sparrow fall to the ground and he not know? So why do I need to go to him begging for what he already provided? Family, when we mature and we begin to go to God with the needs of this world, because we already know that he told us the truth, that he took care of ours. Family, this world would be amazingly on fire for God, because we would have a church that knows how to tap in and get into the presence of God the right way. The right way. So I love you with the love of God. I pray this bless you. I pray it challenges you. How you go about the rest of this week. How you show up the rest of this week. The rest of your life. I'm a son first. I'm a daughter first. And I'm going to act like it. You go into that interview like, my daddy got this. You go into that business group. My daddy got this. You go into every function you need to go in. My daddy got this. Listen, hear me by the Spirit of God. Until we develop that confidence in a father,
I know many of us struggle with this because we had an absent father or an abusive father or whatever father. But I hear me by the Spirit of God. God is not like man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Our God is faithful. Our God is truthful. Our God is loyal. Our God is a father who loves his son and his daughter. And he wants you to tap into greater, greater work shall you do when you understand who you are as a son and as a daughter of the Most High God. So I pray that you take this into the quiet place, the secret place. Take that into the presence of God. Let your prayers be different. Let your declarations be different, because now you're coming from even the prodigal son, my God, when he came to his senses, said, if when I go, you know what? My father is so good. I could go back to his house and be a servant, because he knew the type of father he had. When we come to our senses, let today be the day you come to your senses. Hallelujah. And you get to your father and say, you know what? I want this. I want that. I need you to do this, Lord. I want you to move over in Africa. Hallelujah. I want you to begin to calm down those fires in California. I want you to begin to, oh God, calm what's going on in Tokyo. You got to begin to show up different and pray different and do differently, because I know my daddy. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. I know my daddy. So now I can go into the spirit doing what I need to do, doing what I'm called to do, to be an intercessor. And not a complainer, to be an intercessor and not a crybaby, to be an intercessor. We are called to intercede. Jesus is the high priest who intercedes at the right hand of the Father. We are called to be intercessors, not sitting here crying and complaining like our Father doesn't see us. He sees you and he knows you by name. So may the Spirit of the Lord, cover you with a heavy anointing, that you get into the presence of your Father, that you repent for acting like, you know what, Lord, you've been telling me the truth this whole time, and I've been acting like you've been lying to me. Forgive me, Jesus. Forgive me, Abba. From this day forth, I will live a life that says, my God is telling me the truth. My God is telling me the truth. And then while you're in his presence, begin to declare and decree and boldly speak, boldly ask for the things children ask for. Our children don't have no problem asking you for a $3,000 iPad. They don't know your finances. They don't know what you got, but they gonna ask. And it's up to you as a parent to provide it. So until you learn to ask God for hard things, things that are not small, we pray small, we think small, but we serve a big old God. And when you know you a son and a daughter, you start asking and praying for big stuff. May today be the day you go boldly and bigger into the presence of God, so that you can be a sign and a wonder, that you stop asking for a sign and a wonder. You begin to be a sign and a wonder to this entire world, to your family, to your community, to your neighborhood, to your co-workers, to your classmates, to your ministry. You become a sign and a wonder because you go into the presence of your Father differently. I pray that over you in the mighty name of the Lord Christ Jesus. Family, I love you. God bless you. God keep you. Get into the presence of Abba. Get into the presence of Abba, because he is waiting on his son and his daughter. He's waiting on you. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you, family.